Good morning, everybody. Good to see you with us this morning. Thank you for being here. Pray God's blessings on you. You may have gotten a little wet being out this morning, but thank you for being here anyway. As I was here earlier this morning, I ran into a few others that made it through with no umbrella and was a little wet. So thank you for being here today. Pray God's blessings on you in a special, special way, and giving you of your time to be here with us this morning. St. Thomas Island Christian Renewal, and some of you have been out of town. You're back in town, and so glad that you're here. Amen. Amen. Good to see you with us this morning. I'm not sure if we'll be Facebook Live this morning or not. As I said earlier, we're having a little technical difficulty, and so if somebody says something to you, say, well, you just need to be there in person next Sunday. Amen. We will be on YouTube tomorrow. Tomorrow it'll post about 12 o'clock on YouTube and Vimeo. And so you can invite some to watch together. We've been in a 21 days of prayer as well, and started on August the 3rd, and 21 days will be tomorrow. And as I say, we join with other churches to have 21 days of prayer, but really it should be 365 days of prayer. We need prayer every single day, don't we? And lift up all the needs and concerns of this time of the year. But we know that the Word of God brings us life. As we were singing a while ago, he brings us freedom. He brings everything that we need through his word. And I want to impart to you today what I feel like God is speaking to us through his word. Faith is a huge part of our walk with God. As a matter of fact, without faith, we can't even receive salvation. We can't touch salvation. We can't see it. It's not tangible. There's a peace that comes in our spirit as we receive the salvation of God. But we have to have faith to receive it. So I want to talk about that today. Faith really is part of our daily walk with God, beginning with salvation. And whether we know it or not, we all have faith. We have faith when we put the key in the car to turn over the ignition. We have faith in that light switch when we turn it on that there will be lights. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for faith in you today. I pray, God, that you'll give us a new faith in you. Stir up our faith, God. You've imparted each one of us a measure of faith. God, may we be enlightened by the faith that you've put in us today. And Lord, may it come to us in life and in knowledge of you and how great you are and how awesome you are. Lord, thank you for your word and for the anointed words that you would have for us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you were ever in a school play or went to a theater, some sort of play, I know we have a little play here on the island from time to time. During the different scenes, the curtain closes, and there are things beyond that curtain that you can't see that's being done. And so when the curtain opens up, you see, oh, that's a different scenery. They've got something else that they put together. And the curtain closes, and they do something. You might hear something in the background, and the curtain opens and there was somebody working behind the scenes. Well, that's the way Jesus is in our life every single day. He's always working. He's always putting things together. He's always bringing things about. Sometimes it takes a few minutes and sometimes it takes a few years. Jesus is putting things together. It's not that he needs the time. It's that we need the time to build our faith and to see what he's doing and to draw closer to him. Sometimes we get frustrated because things don't happen as quickly as we think they should. Wouldn't it be nice to pray a prayer and there it is, it's done? You know, we would be so spoiled probably if life were that way. But I can look back on life and thank God that he didn't answer all my prayers, or he answered them a little bit differently. Matter of fact, they were a little better. You know, so he knows his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts higher than our thoughts, and we have to have faith in God to trust that he's always working in our life. He's always working behind the scenes, even when we don't see him working. Faith is a very vital part of our spiritual health. We go to God in faith. We pray in faith. We're saved by faith. We do works by faith. We believe in God by faith. Jesus said on several occasions that as we have faith, he said, as your faith is, be it unto you. So it's important that we have faith. You say, well, I pray, and so God is supposed to respond. God expects in us to have a level of faith that he's imparted to us, to utilize the faith that he's given us to believe for whatever we ask for. So it's not a matter of Jesus doing what he desires to do, what he wants to do, what we're asking him to do. He can do anything. He can do anything, but it's a matter of us having faith to believe him for that. Jesus is teaching in a story found in Mark 11, and Mark outlines this story where Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead the week before, and this was in the week prior to Jesus going to the cross, and we pick up in verse 20 of Mark 11. It says, "Now in the morning as they passed by," this was Jesus and his disciples, "walking by, they saw the fig tree died from the roots that Jesus had cursed the day before. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Jesus reiterates the importance of faith in this story and many times throughout the Word of God. Faith is important. Jesus was speaking of faith. Faith is necessary to our relationship with God, to receive what he has to impart to us every single day, to have faith in him, trust in him. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." That's pretty important, isn't it? That we have faith in God. It's impossible to please God without faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that Jesus is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, comma, all things are possible to him who believes." If, isn't that a huge word? If you can believe. What do you need? What do you desire? What are you praying for? What are you seeking after? Jesus was ministering in his hometown in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, and this is what he said to those in his hometown. Now, he did not do many mighty works there. Was Jesus limited during this time? No. The reason why is because of their unbelief, their lack of faith. So Jesus in his hometown, he had the ability to do greater things and raise from the dead and heal the sick, heal the blind. He could have done all those things, but he did not do many mighty works in Matthew 13:58 because of their unbelief. So our believing, our faith, is important to us. When we don't operate in faith, all things cannot happen. Is Jesus limited? Jesus is not limited. But we limit the power of God because we do not have faith. How can we live in faith? Can we live in faith? Yes, we can live in faith. How can we live in faith? Well, I believe that the Lord gives us some things that I want to bring to you this morning, these next few moments, that are characteristics of us walking by faith. I believe that we can walk daily in faith. We can believe for greater things than what we have. We can believe for greater things than what we see. We can walk in faith. First thing is, faith must be in God. Our faith must be in God. See, we put our faith many times in things. We put our faith many times in man and doctors and lawyers and financial advisors. And when things go south, our faith goes away too. Well, our faith was not in God. Our faith was in man, or our faith was in things. Faith was in circumstances. Faith was in responses. And when those things didn't happen as they should have, then our faith dwindles, what little bit of faith we had. But our faith must be in God. Mark 11:22 says, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. Not in the doctor, not in my friend, my best friend. I've got faith in my best friend. He will never fail me. I've got faith in my pastor. He will never fail me. I've got faith in my parents and my children." And we put faith in all these things. We even put faith in faith. Well, if my faith is here, then I can receive all things. So my faith is in my faith. So we measure our faith by our ability to receive. when we don't receive, my faith wasn't strong enough. So our faith, rather than being in God, our faith is in faith. I've got to build up my faith. I need more faith. I need to have faith to trust God for anything. Well, he says that we have to have faith in God. If I could only have more faith, if I could only have faith. Some people don't even know they have faith. But if you think about it, every one of us have faith, but is our faith in God? God must be the focus of our faith. God must be the very object, the direction, the first thing that we think of in faith must be in God, because God is the one who brings the fulfillment of our hopes. It's only by the hand of God. Thank God for great doctors. I've got a great doctor, but the wisdom that my doctor has comes from God. It first comes from God. Without God, no man can do anything. So our faith is simply a channel that God uses to bring us the answers to what we have need of. And there are many needs today. As Crystal was praying a while ago, we see that there are many needs. There are many needs beyond our ability to give the answer to. People are needing peace today. Can we give peace? Can money give peace? Can things, can circumstances give peace? No, only God can give peace. Peace, God has got to be the center of our faith, the center of our purpose. It's not the size of our faith. As a matter of fact, the disciples were listening to Jesus teach on prayer. And so they thought, well, in order to receive what Jesus is teaching us, they asked for more faith. And look what Jesus says, Luke 17:5-6. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now that sounds like a real noble prayer, doesn't it? They sound real spiritual. They sound real theological. God, we want to do the things you've called us to do, increase our faith. But this is what Jesus says in verse 6. The Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. In other words, we overcomplicate faith. Just like we do salvation. Well, you've got to do this on one leg, spin around, jump over the fence, and come around and stand on your head, and then you can be saved. We overcomplicate things, especially the principles of God. We overcomplicate faith. He's just saying, don't be distracted by the details. Don't be distracted by building your faith. Just have faith in God. The same faith that we use to receive our salvation for the Lord to come to us and to speak to us, it's the same faith that we've got to utilize as a mustard seed. If you've ever seen a mustard seed, it's a tiny seed. It's smaller than a watermelon seed. It's a very tiny seed. He says if we can have that much faith that we can say to a tree, be pulled up and rooted and be planted in the sea, well, doesn't that take a lot of faith? According to Jesus, that's all it takes. And so we become distracted by the details of what's going on that we miss the whole picture of what God is saying. Jesus said you just need real faith, not big faith. Just the real deal. That only comes from God. Our focus isn't faith. Our focus must be God. See, small faith in a big God results in big blessings. Because our faith in God, he's the God of the impossible. He's the God of anything. Second characteristic is faith is always spoken. This is huge. Faith is always spoken. We can believe, and we'll get into that more in just a moment, but faith is always spoken. We can be vocal about so many other things in life. We can talk about politics, we can talk about things, we can talk about all sorts of things, but when it comes to having faith and trusting God for something that seems impossible, we want to believe quietly. It's a secret. I'm believing for this thing. I really am. It's just on the inside. But let me tell you. So we believe in private, but we really should have faith by our spoken word. Let me show that to you. See, I think one big reason why we don't like to speak out our faith, we're believing for the impossible. We really are believing for it, but we don't want to speak too much because somebody's going to think we're strange. You mean you're one of those people. You speak what you think it should be. You speak healing in people's lives that they're not healed yet. And so we're saying, well, what if it doesn't happen? Then I'm embarrassed. And then I stepped out and said God can do things and he doesn't do it. And then here I am. So I'd rather just believe God quietly, just in case it doesn't happen. You see where we're going? Speak out our faith. In Genesis 1:3, God put everything into existence. But look what it says in Genesis 1:3. Then God said. It didn't say then God thought. Then God dreamed. Those are good, thinking and dreaming. God hoped and God wished. And there was light. No, it said God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Even God spoke. God? Who was he speaking to? He was speaking his authority. See, sometimes we speak, but we're speaking our authority. Well, I command you. Well, I mean, I understand what we're saying when we say that, but really it's, I declare God's authority. I declare God's authority in the situation. We're basically reciting the word of God. We're reciting God's authority when we speak faith. What happened when the disciples were in the boat? The disciples were in the boat, and Jesus, of all things, was asleep. Now, he was really concerned, wasn't he? The boat was rocking. They were planning on going to this boat and going across this big lake where the winds came, the storm came, and it rocked them, and it just started falling apart. So they finally went down and said, hey, y'all mind waking up Jesus and let's see what he can do here, see if he can bring us any hope? And so in Mark 4:39, says he arose, you don't have that, but just make note of it. He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea. Now, why would Jesus have to say anything to the sea? Wouldn't it be good enough for him just to stand up and raise his hands and then it happened? But even Jesus spoke and said, peace be still. He didn't wish it. He didn't hope for it. He didn't dream it. He didn't think it. But he spoke it. As a matter of fact, there's an exclamation point there where peace be still. Still, he said to the sea. Mark 11:23, as we just read, for surely I say to you, whoever thinks. Is that up there? Do y'all read that in your Bible? It says whoever says. S-A-Y-S. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. So are there any mountains in your life? Are there any mountains that's a hindrance to your life? Well, obviously, there are many mountains today that we're facing, from health to finances to relationships. It could be any number of things that could be a mountain in your life today. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed, cast to the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but says, will be done. He'll have whatever he says. Isn't that amazing that he says all that many times in one verse? Says is a big word. Speaking is a big thing. Pastor Ligon is the author of the spoken word, the blessing. And the power that comes through the spoken word of God is there's nothing like it. There's no duplication. There's no way to replace the power that comes from the spoken word of God. Matthew 17:20. I think you were a step ahead of me there, weren't you? Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, I believe that Jesus is fully aware of the abuse of faith that we have seen in our lifetime. From the name it and claim it, to blab it and have it, to whatever, wherever they call it. And so there's abuse. But Jesus does not change his principles just because of the abuse of man. So his principles still stand. He doesn't say, well, okay, they've really taken this off the chain, so we're just going to do away with this rule, this principle, and we're going to go to something else. No, his principle still stands. What I'm reading to you today, where it was written in the scripture that many years ago, still stands today. It hasn't changed. It's been abused just like everything else. But if we'll do what it says do, there's nothing beyond that. He means what he says. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, have faith as a mustard seed. Power becomes evident when we speak faith. When we speak faith, when we speak in the authority of God's word, say, Lord, this is your word. I declare your word. I stand on the authority of your word. We speak to it. Power becomes evident through the speaking of our faith. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now that's your tongue and my tongue. That's not special people's tongues. That's not the president's tongue. That's not Congress' tongue. That's not House of Representatives' tongues. That's not the mayor's tongue, the pastor's tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whoever has a tongue has power of death and life. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. So our tongue really could carry the realization of our miracle. Our tongue could hinder the realization of our miracle. Now, I'm being a little facetious here, but if when our children were growing up, maybe a practical thing, when you get home today, rather than speaking love to your spouse, speak something contrary to that, and you'll see what kind of repercussion you get. It won't be life, will it? It'll be anger. It could be a number of things. And so what we say carries power. Your response to the lady at the Winn-Dixie cashier, your response to her could actually affect the rest of her day. Why? Because there's power in your tongue, just in three or four words. How are you today? And so the power of our tongue could affect our self-worth. The power of our tongue could affect our relationships, our marriage, even our future. The power of our tongue can unlock favor from God. It's huge. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. So what we believe, we speak. Now, I would encourage you to believe the word of God. Get this in our hearts first, and out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. Right? And so, if this is in our heart, when we speak, we're speaking life. There's no thwarting of life here. And so, as we believe, the Bible says, therefore, I speak. Now, I know there are sometimes, and we've ran across this on several occasions, there's a privacy issue where something's going on in your life, and it's not wise to call the TV station and say, I'm having this need, I'm speaking faith, I just want y'all to get the word out. So there are times where you need to get with two or three witnesses and gather together and pray, because the word of God says where there are two or three gathered in his name, he's in the midst. So you see the point. The point is not necessarily getting it on the airwaves, but getting it to where you connect with people of God that can stand with you in faith, declare the authority of God's word. Jesus says nothing will be impossible for you. We were living a number of years ago on the north end of 341 in a subdivision called River Ridge, and we lived there for about 4 years, I think. The children were of school age still back then. This is 20-something years ago, and maybe 25 years ago. And so we were on the north end of 341, and every morning, Josh and Jordan both were not driving age, so we were taking them to school, Christian Rural Academy. And so when we would leave River Ridge on the north end of 341 and head up the 341 to Christian Renewal on the right-hand side, there was some property that Chris and I had been praying about to purchase. It was commercial property there. And we've been praying about it. I found out that it was for sale and was believing and trusting God for the purchase of this property. And Chris and I both were in unity about this. And we said, well, this is going to be huge. It's going to be a miracle, but let's pray about it. So we had, for a period of time, been praying about it. And, of course, the children knew. Every morning, that would be part of our prayer. Lord, work this out if it's your will. If not, close the door. So we would pray about it every day, make it part of our prayer. And so every morning when Josh and Jordan were in the car with me, we were driving, we would pass by this property on 341 headed to school in the morning. And lo and behold, every single morning, Josh and Jordan would look over there and say, Daddy, there's our property. And I was concerned because they were getting their hopes up that, you know, I tried to change the subject. Yeah. Y'all are going to have a great day today. What do you have for lunch? What are you going to do after school today? There's our property right there. Yes, so what's going on tonight? Tomorrow? There's our, every single day. I'm not sure how it happened for several months. We've been believing and praying, and we knew it was going to take a miracle. And lo and behold, it wasn't long after that that we got a call, and some things fell in place miraculously that needed to happen, and it happened just like that. And God opened the door, and we were there. And we think, and we've talked about this several times, how much they really spoke their faith as a child was speaking that into existence, even beyond our ability to receive it. If we're not careful, God will use children to speak faith, even if we're scared to do it. But they didn't think it, and they didn't go to school and say, hey, we're getting proper. They didn't. They've ever been that way, thank God. They weren't announcing it. They were just telling Dad, Dad, there's a property. They didn't. It was just rolled off their tongue. The faith that they had, that what we had been praying for, that God was going to bring that thing about, and God brought it about. But the power of the spoken word, even from a child, God honors. It's important that we raise our children in faith in God, to trust God for the impossible. So surely as doubt left unexpressed will die, faith expressed will produce miracles. I'm going to say that again. Just as surely as doubt left unexpressed will die, faith expressed will produce miracles. There are some things that will never happen until we learn to speak faith. Our first tendency is to think of all of the warped things that have been talked about and televised over the years. But the same miracles, if we'll just simply look at the Word of God, just throw out all the other stuff that would maybe cloud your mind, if you just simply look at the life of Jesus and the things that he did by faith, that people were astonished by, those are the same things that Jesus said that he wants to do in 2020. And I believe that we will see those things happen. I believe that we will experience the same miracles today that was experienced then. I expect it. Healing of the sick, even the raising of the dead, blind eyes open, bones fused back together, deaf ears opened up to hear. And so our faith needs to be alive in God. Our faith needs to be pointed at God, and our faith needs to be spoken on the authority of God. See, it really doesn't matter what Mike says, but when I recite what God says and I speak his faith, that's what changes things. And so our words of doubt can work against us. I doubt that will ever happen. Well, there you go. Why would you expect anything else? You just said you doubted that it would happen. I've been guilty of it too. I've said I doubt that that's, I can't see that ever happening. You know what? I probably won't see that happen. Because the power of the tongue is like a farmer planting seed. Now, a wise farmer, a farmer that really wants to see a crop, he's going to be real careful about the seed he uses and where he places it. A farmer that's wanting to, that his very life is depending on the response of that seed, he's wanting to make sure he does everything in his power to get it right. So that's really what we should be concerned with too, is that every single day we're planting seeds of life, whether we realize it or not. And if it's doubt, then it's going to bring up doubt. If it's life, it will bring up life. And so the power of our tongue will have a lot to do with the faith and the miracles that we see. Third, faith prays. Faith prays. Our focus can be on God. We can speak faith, but our prayer life still continues, because that's where we receive the mind of Christ, is by prayer. See, we're not doing God any huge favors by praying. I remember years ago when my mama was in North Carolina, and us guys probably have a little harder time than the girls connecting and making phone calls. Like we should, we get busy and doing things, and so I would get up one Saturday morning and think, oh, I need to call Mama. So I called her. She said, well, hey, son, it's so good to hear from you. Where have you been? Why hadn't you called me sooner? And so that was a sweet time, and I tried to continue to do that. But we're not doing God any favors by praying. It's what changes us and inside of me that my prayer life, that's the fruit of it. Now God loves us. He wants to commune with us. He wants to talk to us. But if we're not listening, if we're not talking to him, how can he talk to us? How can we listen if we're not attentive to what he's saying? And so our prayer life has to continue because that's our lifeline. That's our lifeline to even our faith, as we're reading a while ago. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray. So we're communicating with God. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. Our praying to God provides the current for our faith. It provides the wheels to our faith, our prayer. That's our lifeline. Faith only comes by God. It comes by hearing God's word. It can only come from God. And so if we cut off communication with God because we become so spiritual that I can do all things without God, then we've cut off our lifeline. We've cut off the very wheels that drive the faith in the first place. And sometimes we get so busy telling people about the situation. We talk about it. We want to talk more about it. But are we praying about it? Sometimes we get everybody else praying about it, but are we praying about it? So we've got to continue in prayer. James 4:2, make a note of this. We don't have sometimes because we don't ask. In other words, if you're not praying about it, if you're not petitioning God for it, he says, ask, seek, and knock. That's what we're instructed to do. So we've got to ask God, we've got to seek God, and we've got to knock. That doesn't mean just one time. I had somebody say, well, if we have faith in God, we ask one time and leave it. Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but sometimes we've got to build our faith up that we really believe for it and not just, you know, when our children were growing up, about August, September, October, November for sure, what do they want for Christmas? If they thought we forgot, they'd ask us again. Did you remember, I want that red bicycle? Did you remember, I want that stereo? Did you remember, you know, so they ask many times over. If they ask once, maybe they really don't want it. Maybe they're really not serious about that thing. So we need to ask, we need to pray. Sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. Pray. And as we pray, we receive the mind of Christ. Now there's a scripture in 1 John 5:14-15 that says this, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, oops, you mean I've got to ask according to God's will? Well, there goes that. Well, how do you know if it's not God's will? Unless you pray and get the mind of Christ. I can tell you that God will not bring something in your life that will take you from him. If we can hang that up, and he knows if we can handle it or not. So God will bring something into our life that will bring us closer to him, that will bring glory to him. I believe the Lord is all about that. His hand is not short. He is not scared to bless his people. It's all his. He can bless you with whatever he wants to bless you with. And so our confidence has got to be in him that we ask according to his will. How do we know his will? By praying. We get the mind of Christ by praying. We hear him. We know him. When he speaks, oh, God, that's you talking. I've had some people say, God told me this. Is this really God or is this the devil? I said, well, let's see. Tell me what it says. And does it line up with the word of God? Not really. It's not God. Does it line up with the word of God? Yes. Did it encourage you? Yes. Well, it's probably God's word. Was it encouraging you to draw closer to Jesus? Yes. Well, that wasn't the devil. Right? So we can weigh out what God is saying by, does it line up with the word of God or not? Does it bring us closer to him or does it drive us farther from him? So we ask according to his will in 1 John 5:14. And in verse 15 it says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, see that word whatever? There's no limit there. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. When we've waited long enough, we've prayed long enough that we know what God's will is. I'm not saying we know God's plan. I'm not saying that I know what God's going to do in my life tomorrow, because I don't. I don't know what I'll face 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock, or a month or 3 years from now. But we do know that God has good plans for us, and we do know that his plan is always good. We do know that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Even in spite of the things that we face in life, he's still a good God. And so as we spend time with God, as we understand the will of God, we can trust God in whatever we face. That's the peace that Crystal was talking about a while ago. The peace that comes from God is by knowing that everything he does well, he does good, and he loves you. And so even in the awful situation that Crystal's high school friend lost her mom and dad within 9 days of each other, I can't think of many things more horrific, that she can still say to Crystal, I have the peace of God because I know that he's with me. Wow. Understanding God's will and knowing how much he loves you. The fourth characteristic I want to share with you is notated in the very last passage, the very end of the passage there, and it's faith forgives. Now, you wouldn't think that would fit. We just took a strong turn here from talking about faith to forgiven. Faith forgives. Why does faith forgive? Because it clears out anything in your mind that would cause you to pray according to your will rather than God's will. And see, if I'm holding on to animosity, if I'm holding on to unforgiveness, if I'm holding on to bitterness, if I've got an issue that's really gnawing at me and I'm praying, I could be probably praying for my will to be done rather than God's will to be done. And so it's important that as we pray, that we release and forgive. In Mark 11:25, it says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. See, we've got to clear out all grudges, all ulterior motives, all plans of ourself that could be vengeance or manipulation. It could cause us to pray out of hurt. And so sometimes the reason we're not experiencing the answers from God is because we've got some things hindering our relationship with God. And there are going to be things that has either happened or may happen that can cause us to take our eyes off of God and to put it in man, and our attention draws to man and how we've been hurt and how we've been abused or how we've been manipulated and we become hurt, and so that hinders us from God. And see, even ministers can fall into this. Doesn't matter who you are. I had a minister tell me a few days ago, he said, Mike, I've got to be careful. He said, I go to pray for people, and God's used me greatly in the past, but I found that if I have anything in my heart, I won't see God's miracles come because I found that what's in my heart is hindering somebody getting their miracle. And I thought, wow, it's awesome that he recognized that. And it's important that we let go, that we forgive. I mean, I've told him this several times over the years, and holding back a grudge, you think it's going to get back at them, but all it does is it backfires on you and just hurts you. And it actually hinders our prayer. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. To have faith, it's important that we forgive. One meaning of the word to forgive is to hurl it away. Hurl it away. Just throw it away. Just get rid of it. It's like a grenade. Get rid of it. Don't even keep it anywhere around. A vice. Fast. I mean, the longer we hold on to it, the more it could eat away, the more damage it could do, and it grows. It's deadly. But when we see that God wants to do amazing things in our life, as we do the things really that I've outlined here earlier, it causes us to want to forgive because we have the mind of Christ. And when we realize how much God has forgiven us of, if I were to sit down and think of all the things that God has forgiven me of, I'm real eager to forgive everybody else. God, if you did that for me, yeah, who am I to hold a grudge or hold a hindrance to somebody else's life and to stop you from answering my prayers and using me the way that you want to use me? I'm hurting myself. I'm hindering myself. God wants to fulfill your desires. God wants to increase your faith. God wants to utilize the faith that you have. But we've got to get closer to God. We've got to get closer to Him and say, God, I want to know that you're my focus. God, I want to devote my life and my heart and everything I have to you. See, many times people think that, well, in order for me to have faith in God, I can't have the good things in life. I can't succeed in life. No, it's because of faith in God that God will do more in your life than what you're capable of doing on your own. God can bring things in your life greater than you can based on your own faith in yourself and people, because all that's limited. My faith in other people, you know, it's good to have faith in people, but for me to wrap my entire life faith in someone else, that's unfair pressure on them, number one. And number two, I'm going to be disappointed. But when I have faith in God and let Him put my perspective in place and cherish the relationship that we have with one another, encourage one another, my faith, when you fail or when I fail, it doesn't turn us away from God. It pushes us closer to God and saying, God, my faith is in you, my trust is in you, and even though we're facing challenges here, I draw closer to you because I know that you're my life and you're my help. You're my strength. You're my all in all. There are greater things that God wants to do in your life. The days that we're living in right now is no surprise to God. They were a surprise to us, but no surprise to God. We're running around trying to put answers to this and keep the confusion down, and God has got it all together. He is overseeing this entire thing. Whether the world recognizes that or not is irrelevant. God is overseeing the whole thing. And God has a plan for those that will turn to Him. And so I just want us to turn to God like never before. I want us to keep our focus on God like we never have before. I want us to forgive and let things go like we never have before, for no hindrance. Because if we are living in the last days, and we'll talk about that in the weeks to come, if we are living in the last days, God is trying to get a people together that has faith in Him. So that's what He wants to do. He's saying, I love you so much that I've entrusted these things in your life that I want you to draw closer to me, learn that you have life in me, that no matter what you face, I can do greater things in you and through you. See, our world needs a proclamation of who Jesus is. That's really what it is. Life comes through Jesus Christ. And He needs a people that will proclaim that, stand on the authority of God's word, and declare that no matter what they face. And that could very well be you and I. He wants to do that. The Bible says He's no respecter of person. But sometimes we respect people over God rather than respecting Him over man. Are you with me today? Do y'all want to tap into all that God has for us? No matter what it is, let's stand together this morning. For we